broadcasting live. It's America's longest-running national radio talk show on computers, Computer America, hosted by national columnist Craig Crossman. Look for Craig's weekly column in your favorite newspaper. This show is being beamed nationwide at ComputerAmerica.com. Keep it here for technology news, computer products, guest interviews, and your phone calls. You're listening to Computer America.
Hello, and welcome into the Computer America Show. It's the nation's longest-running, nationally syndicated radio talk show on computers. Computer America is heard around the world and coast to coast. And I am your host, Craig Crossman.
And I'm your co-host, Ben.
Well, okay. As I said, we have our guests, first hour guests, kind of standing by in the wings, so I think we should bring him on. As I mentioned, this first hour is with a company called Beltone South. Let's see, we've had Beltone Canada, and we've had Beltone
New England.
We've had Beltone West, Beltone East, Beltone North, and now we're going to have Beltone South. A lot of Beltones out there, evidently. But seriously, the company is called Beltone South, and they recently introduced what they're calling a revolutionary hearing aid capable of streaming high-quality stereo sound from an iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch without the need for an additional pendant-like or dongle device, which is cool. Wearers can also customize their hearing experience through the Beltone Hear Plus app. See, there really is an app for everything. In fact, we're going to hear how Beltone South advances a number of Beltone technologies which are already leading the hearing care industry. Now, joining us tonight is Perry Ebel. Perry is the president and CEO of Beltone South. Perry, welcome into Computer America. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing very good. Thanks a lot, Craig, for having me on.
Our pleasure, sir. Very, very glad to have you. Now, so before we discuss the technology, let's talk a little bit about hearing loss. In your opinion, how prevalent is hearing loss?
Well, it's very prevalent in the United States. About 1 in 10 people have what we would think of as a clinically significant hearing loss. And, of course, if you're over age 65, that number goes to about 1 in 5. So it's very, very prevalent. About 30 million Americans have it.
I'm sorry, what did you say? Oh, I couldn't help
about
that.
About 30 million Americans.
I'm sorry, I couldn't help that. I couldn't help it.
It's a big number.
Big number, absolutely. And we're kidding about it. But obviously,
Craig, you're lucky you didn't catch that joke. Yeah, that was awful.
I know, I've been doing this for so many years. Usually I get those when they come out.
Obviously it's a serious topic, but it's still obviously something that, you know. But the point is, people, so it's... Is it necessarily an age thing? Are you saying,
Well, it's not necessarily an age thing, although we think of it in terms of age most often. And some of the most prevalent forms of it are age-related or genetically related loss. But, it has a huge effect on people in your business, in the radio business. Imagine not being able to hear well.
Yeah.
And even people with hearing loss, they, depending on the type of hearing loss they have, they may be missing frequencies, so they're missing certain sounds. So if you take a word like stove, they hear you saying the word, but they may hear toe or so or oh. They may not be picking up all of those consonant sounds, and so it's very hard to discern what the word is, and there's a big difference between stove and toe and oh and so.
Yeah, exactly. Especially the sibilant sounds. This is what you're kind of talking about, the S's and the T's.
Yeah, exactly right. Those are all high-frequency sounds. And so those tend to be, as you develop hearing loss, those tend to be the first sounds to give way. And so you hear those big vowel sounds because those are all low-frequency sounds and they carry really well. And those high-frequency sounds, those consonant sounds that we can't say very loud, get lost as hearing loss starts and as it progresses.
Yeah, and now what about the people who abuse their ears? Let's say they went to a lot of concerts, back in the 80s and 70s, and loud concerts. Does that take a toll on hearing?
Yeah, I'm part of that baby boomer generation. We were the first generation to have headsets that amplified the sound and cranked it up to hear that rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
And our generation, that baby boomer generation, is seeing hearing loss at an earlier age than the Korean and the World War II generation. And consequently, it flows on down because Generation X, the millennials, because of earbuds and the amplified sound and the difference, the way that sound is amplified in the ear, they're seeing hearing loss at a much earlier age than the baby boomers did.
Wow, exactly. So now they're...
Real quick, you know, just to put a personal experience to this, I was actually worked in manufacturing, and while the noise level wasn't unbearable, I mean, you could walk around and still do your job without wearing earplugs and things like that, and while earplugs were encouraged, they were not mandatory, but a lot of people were walking around, and they were in this environment, while I was the young one, there were people who had been working in this environment for 15, 20 years, and while, yeah, you could do your job, it wasn't that painful, it eventually you drone it out, after about 15 years, every single one of my coworkers had a good ear and a bad ear. Every single one of them had some form of hearing loss. So it's not just the sharp sounds of war, the concussive blasts and things like that. It's also just general workplace and not taking proper care of your ears because 15, 20 years, when something happens over such a long period of time, you don't really notice until one day you're hearing this high-pitched whine and you don't even know that – and you don't even realize you've been listening to that for the past 5 years.
Well, that could be your wife, you know, for all you know.
That so. Too.
Could be, but
well, you know, you have it exactly right. It's that consistent level of sound, and much like not wearing sunglasses and having sunlight in your eyes all the time. You know, you start those receptors, those nerve endings, start to either get damaged because of it, or the processing of the information gets lost because you're just constantly feeding this, and so it resets its base level.
Mm. So the symptoms of hearing loss basically are the sibilants, the high frequencies. That's usually the first thing to go.
What?
The high.
No.
You're not going to get me on that one. You're not going to get – no, you're not going to catch me on that.
No, usually, you know, it's all those sibilant sounds that get lost initially. And so, you know, some of the symptoms are if you find that you're saying what all the time. That's a symptom of hearing loss. If you have a friend that when you listen to them, they mumble, they may mumble, every two mumbles, that would certainly be a sign of hearing loss. Or if people tell you your television's too loud or you have trouble hearing on the telephone, because of the technical constrictions of the telephone, you know, you don't have that broad spectrum of sound available in normal speech. And so, you know, that would be a sign of hearing loss.
Right. Now,
and certainly directionality, you know, if you're having trouble telling where sound's coming from.
Yes. Well, now, of course, just like our eyes, we see eyes, we use our eyes to see stereoscopic or 3D, and our ears, we basically, it's how we tell direction. I mean, in other words, whatever the sound crosses which ear first, you know, that's the direction the sound is coming from. And if you have a hearing impaired in maybe one ear, that can certainly affect your sense of hearing direction, can it not?
Yeah, it's one of the biggest challenges the hearing impaired have if you have somebody that has hearing loss in one ear. You know, the brain is the central, to use technical analogies, the brain is the central processing unit. Mm-hmm. And so if it's missing that input, it has a hard time putting those equations together where they make sense. And so being able to locate sound has a lot to do with which ear hears the sound. You know, your head causes some sound restriction for the other ear, so it becomes a very difficult challenge, much like if you were sighted in only one eye.
Right.
Being able to detect the 3D.
Yeah, exactly. So this leads me up to the question about how has technology been used to assist the hearing impaired? I mean, obviously we're familiar with the stereotypical hearing aid that has the wire, you know, going down to the little cigarette pack into your shirt pocket and you know, speak into the shirt, you know, pocket, and that's sort of how it started, right?
Yeah, you know, it started off actually the gentleman who started Belltone as a company, an engineer and a tinker, and one of his challenges was he had a neighbor that had hearing loss, and at the time there were things like amplifiers that, you know, just basic linear amplifiers, but they were heavy. They were something you set on a table, and you connected a headset to your ears, and that's how you heard people. And his challenge was to see if they could make something portable. And so the first technical advances in hearing aids were things that you wore attached to your belt. And they had a headset going up to them, and that's how you heard the sound. They weren't all that good, and obviously 5 or 6 pounds, whatever the battery was. And I imagine, although I don't have any personal experience, that acid burns were a problem. And so you had all these things going on to it. As you went into the 50s and the 60s, hearing aids started to become miniaturized, much like you would think of a portable radio or a Walkman or something that we had years ago with the earbuds going in. It was a huge advancement for the hearing impaired. They had ones that women used to wear in their bras. You know, they were concealed in their bras, and that's how they held it. And so over the years, they've gotten smaller and smaller. Finally, at a level in the mid-60s and late-60s where it fit into the ear. It was a single amplifier that fit into the ear. And these are the things I think most people identify with hearing aids. You had this big thing sticking in your ear, and it had a big wheel on it that you turned to turn the sound up or down, and it amplified everything. So it certainly amplified some of the stuff you were missing, but it also amplified the stuff you heard well, and you heard poorly really loud. and then in the 70s, as we get into the digital technology, we started being able to start to affect just gains and parts of the frequency. And then as we got into the digital age in the 80s, obviously we were now doing some sound processing, and we were able to take and manipulate the sound in a way that made sense with the ear. You know, the ear can detect about 24 bands or channels of sound, and as we were able to divide the sound up digitally, we could affect the sound and the channels that were missing and give a much more normal hearing experience.
Now, Perry, and you know, we do this all the time on the show because we talk so much about technology in the news and technology advancements, and medicine and technology just work so well together. They're always doing brand new things. So I know that you guys are focusing mainly on hearing aids and hearing loss, and you can focus on that, but I just want to get your sense about how technology is kind of blending with medicine and what your thoughts on that are.
Well, it's really driving a lot of medicine. I mean, certainly in the hearing aid world, you know, the technology for hearing aids, and now that, you know, we're using processors inside the hearing aids, the technology's gotten so good that it's forcing the audiology to get better. The way we test for hearing loss these days is a much better process, primarily to take advantage of the technology. You were talking about wearable technology, which is, you know, the new hot item coming up. And really, hearing aids today, and they have been for 3 or 4 years now, they fit the definition of wearable technology. You know, they keep track of the environment you're in. They keep track of what they've had to do to help you hear. They're able to do to shift the microphones digitally so that they become pseudo-directional microphones. It's just amazing how the technology is driving it. And I think it's that way in most of medicine. I sat through a symposium recently on LASIK eye surgery and the way they're being able to process the information now and use the lasers. They really don't have to use a blade anymore at all. And so I think everything.
Really. So these improvements, are we talking about the past 10 years, would you say? I mean, these advances that you're talking about?
Well, I think the greatest advances have been in the last 10 years. You know, hearing aids, we were talking about the ones that you would picture your grandparents in, the kind of big ones, and if you went to hug somebody, they squealed or they squealed all the time. And you know, about 9 years ago, the first what are called open-fit hearing aids came out. And those are the little hearing aids, kind of sit behind the ear, and there's a little thin wire that goes into the ear. And what that allowed us to do was to allow normal sound to come into the ear without blocking the ear or occluding the ear, and assisting those frequencies where there was a loss. And so it gave people a much more comfortable fit and a much smaller package. Now, since that technology has come out, you know, when that came out, 100% of the hearing aids were custom fit, those things that you see in people's ear. Over the last 10 years now, only about 15% of the market are those kind of custom fit big hearing aids, primarily for people with severe or profound loss. Mm-hmm. Most other losses today we can do with an open fit hearing aid, and we don't have to block the ear, and they don't have to have that ugly thing there. In fact, they're, it's very difficult to see hearing aids today.
Wow. Well,
so it used to be 100%, now it's closer to 15%. So most hearing aids nowadays, they aren't there to just amplify all sound, because I'll admit, I really, other than, you know, Belton coming on the show, hearing aids really not my priority as a young 20-something. But apparently, so hearing aids, they don't just amplify across the board anymore. They're just there to assist, say, if you have problems hearing very high frequencies or something like that. You still get the sound as normal, like normal conversation or anything like that. You still get that normal, but then it would boost or aid in the delivery of high frequency?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think one of the challenges for the hearing aid industry and some other industries, if you think about some of the advancements in earbuds, you know, it's the same kind of technology that's driving all this. And that is this matter of putting, getting as broad a frequency spectrum as you can in a very small device and fighting the physics of doing that as well. You know, one of the challenges is still feedback. If you open up a pathway for the sound, from the speaker back into the microphone, you're opening up a feedback pathway. And so today, you know, with the processing capability we have, and we have incredibly powerful processors in very small packages, you know, we can go in, we can manipulate the sound. So not only are we amplifying it, but we can change it to make it more hearable for that person. We can, much like you see some of the manufacturers that have noise reduction headsets, we use that same technology to get rid of background noise, because for somebody with hearing loss, background noise is a big problem. You know, they that's always low frequency. If they can't hear the high frequencies and you've got all this low frequency in there, it just makes it that much more difficult. So we can reduce that background noise now. And we can use the processing capability to assess the sound environment and pick out those voices that we know we want to hear, and bring those voices kind of out of the background so that a person can hear much more easily. And so process, we can do frequency shifting. So if you're missing the very high frequencies, you just don't hear them, and so you're missing some of those consonant sounds, we can take those frequencies and shift them down into a range you can hear. Yeah. And so it's amazing what the technology is allowing us to do now.
Now, is there, you know, obviously the technology has changed, and I would think the answer to this question is the adoption rate for hearing aids changed. Because as the technology becomes more advanced, people can begin to wear these devices without looking like, you know, your grandfather, you know,
you would think, although, you know, the adoption rate is, it's one of the things that we're still fighting in the industry is the adoption rate. I think the adoption rate for hearing aids is about, if you think of 100% of the people who could benefit from them, the adoption rate's about 25%.
Wow.
And it's been that way for a number of years. And that's because people associate that technology with some incredibly negative things. You know, so we're getting old. and deaf. You know, if you're wearing hearing aids, you've got to be near the deaf's door. And so those are you know, psychological battles that were, but we're not limited by the technology like we used to be. Mm-hmm. And so the technology is there. And you know, I think in our messaging to people, we're starting to break through some of these barriers. About 25%.
And you know, why the resistance? What do you think it is?
Well, I think the hearing aid industry is constantly pushing to put a more positive message on the technology. I mean, mm-hmm. who would have thought that you could convince people to wear a rather large plastic device behind their ear so they could talk on their telephone, the Bluetooth device? Mm-hmm.
That looks cool. You know,
yeah, it took a while to get that thing out, you know, kind of get past having something in your ear all the time. And then it became a cool device.
Yeah.
I think that with hearing aids, it's the same thing. You know, people have this messaging about these big, ugly things or their own experience within their family. And all the things that wearing a hearing aid might mean to them. And one of the battles that we fight is that battle to show them that, look, that big stuff isn't around anymore, and this makes such a difference in your life. And so it's no different than having to convince somebody, you know, if you have to wear bifocals, mm-hmm. and it's a little bit of a challenge, or glasses, you know, it's something that else that you've got to put on your body, on your face,
yeah,
but you adapt to it pretty quickly when you see the benefits of it.
I guess we're all so vain. We don't want to, you know, put something on our body that's going to make us look bad, you know. So we need to bring fashion into it, or we have to miniaturize it so that you can't see it. We have to do something, you know. Although, you know, you're right. The big honking.
Well, vanity. I'll tell you, vanity's a big issue. And I've learned, having been around people in their 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 100s, that no matter how old you are,
you still want
to
look good.
One of the things you do every day is look in the mirror and say, "How do I look?"
I promise.
And you say, "Well, I don't know if I want to wear hearing aids because it makes me look old."
I promise you. Oh, well, that's pretty funny. I promise you that it has something on a biological basic level of standing out from the herd, and you are therefore weaker. You are more susceptible. You are, you know, to predators.
That
you are just singled out. It may just be a social stigma, but it has to have that biological hard.
You can stand out in the crowd and look great. I mean, look at the superheroes with the costumes. They want to stand out, you know.
Now you can be the bull with the largest horns, and you can be the stud, or you know, you could be unfortunately the gazelle with the limp. It's there are two very different things, and it might not be exactly that, but it has to be hardwired into our brain somewhere that if I need these medical devices, I am somehow weaker, what have you, which totally not true. I mean, that's the reason these things exist, is to help you to be, if not average, above average, or get by.
Well, I think
you have to feel like that sometimes.
I think in this day and age, we're getting to the point now where, Perry mentioned, you have Bluetooth ear headsets that, you know, that you're wearing technology with wearables is becoming much more fashionable. That's one of the things we were talking about with Intel, by the way, yesterday, about wearables and what they're doing, and they're getting smaller and miniaturized. I think that stigma is getting to be pretty much passe, especially if people can wear these gargantuan headsets when they're listening to music. You know, these Dr. Dre.
Wanting to wear a wearable technology because it's cool, because it helps me with my phone, that kind of thing. And then there's another one that maybe it makes me stand out because it makes me. Makes people think I can't hear, makes people think I can't see, that kind of thing. They're two different, which I'm glad that Beltone, I'm sure many other places are fighting the good fight of saying, hey, you don't have to be sad or regret getting these things. They will help you. They're easy to use. You can barely notice them.
Yeah.
You should check them out.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the point you're at.
Well, I know you were talking about being at CES, and you see people wearing Google Glass, and it's distracting to look at them,
yeah.
And yet they're perfectly content wearing it. And so I think, you know, wearable technology is really exciting. It's exciting for our world as well, because really that's what we're doing. You know, that those hearing aids keep track of so many things. The advancements in technology that Beltone announced this year allow us to geolocate hearing aids. The hearing aids geolocate themselves. So if they're going into an environment that they've been in before, they remember what they had to do. They immediately go into that mode. So I think there are other pieces of medicine where this wearable technology, now we're doing very simple things like heart rates and temperature.
Well, I'll tell you what.
And all of that. But I think it's going to become more and more powerful in terms of bio-assisting
Barry,
that we're doing.
I'll tell you what. We're at the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a little break and then we're going to continue on. We're talking to Perry Evil. He is with Beltone South. He's the president of Beltone South. When we come back, we're going to talk about the specifics of these hearing devices and how they work. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Computer America Show. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Computer America Show. It is 33 minutes past the hour, at the bottom of the hour. We are talking to Perry Evil here from Beltone South. And right now, in the past half hour, let's be honest, we were talking generalities, people with hearing aids, people who need them, who needs them, that kind of thing. And we could continue on about that all night. Interesting, but Beltone South does actually do something to solve everything we were just talking about, or at least help with those things.
And
so
before you do that, Ben, I've been remiss a little bit here as my duties as a talk show host.
You want to give out the contact information.
I didn't give out the contact information. You should do it at the top of the hour, so let's do that. If you have a question for our guest, give us a call at 347-884-8881. That's 347-884-8881. I'll get you on and get you through. Email is live, L-I-V-E, at computeramerica.com. You can join us in our live interactive chat room at computeramerica.com and also watch the live Computer America video streaming page at computeramerica.com. Give us a call, 347-884-8881. Okay, Ben, continue.
All right. So, Perry, why don't we get into some specifics? We have like 25 more minutes, and I think it should be a good chunk of time to get through most of the products that Beltone actually provides. So what, I guess, is your newest product for Beltone and hearing aids?
Well, I think the advancement that we think is maybe the most significant advancement in hearing aids and is winning some technology awards having nothing to do with hearing aids is called the Beltone First.
Yep.
And it's a multi-channel, 17-channel hearing aid, of which there are a number, but what's significant about this one is the way that it processes sound and the speed of the processor, and its ability to link to other devices like the iPhone, a direct link. You know, we've wanted to do that for a long time. The challenge has been is that just getting the Bluetooth circuitry at a level where it could be wearable circuitry, and we didn't have to have this third device that had to be worn as a dongle or something attached to the clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just came out this last year. And so now those hearing aids can connect directly to the iPhone, as an example. And they can be controlled from the iPhone. And that's huge. If you have hearing loss, being able to hear that telephone in your ear and hear it in both ears is huge in raising somebody's ability to comprehend the speech. And that's a very, very exciting change. And some of the other things, the frequency shifting, being able to bring those frequencies into an area where there is a greater ability to comprehend the sound, is a huge advancement in hearing aid technology.
And again, the product is called Beltone First. And now you can use your smartphone to control this device as well?
Yeah, the amazing thing is that you can take a smartphone, and we just, in fact, are announcing connection. We have an Android app now that does a very similar thing. But with the Hear Plus, the Beltone Hear Plus app, you can have complete control of that hearing aid. You can go in, you can adjust the volume either side. You can adjust the environments that the hearing aid responds well in. So there are some preset environments like going into a restaurant or going to church or being out in a stadium. You can also adjust the bass and the treble to give you a little better hearing experience. What's amazing is that now when you make those adjustments with your iPhone, you know, again, we talk about vanity. It's nothing. People wouldn't think anything about you having an iPhone and playing with it.
Yeah.
Where if you had some other device, it might be a key that something else is going on there. So in terms of vanity, it's a great advancement in vanity as well. And obviously, I use one. I wear them. I don't need hearing aids, but I use them as Bluetooth devices because they're completely invisible. And so it's a fantastic Bluetooth device.
Really? So you could actually use this as a Bluetooth communications with your smartphone?
Yeah, we've been playing around with it in some other areas. You know, not only can you use it in your smartphone, listening to music with it. We've even put them in some audio production environments as a way for the producer to talk to the guest without having to have the monitor on. So it works really, really well. ESPN was one of the first companies to try that out, and it worked fantastic.
Yeah, and because it's more than just having a little sound going into your ear. I mean, there's all these different frequencies. I mean, you can really fine-tune what it is that people are hearing without distracting, you know, and focus on what it is that they need to hear.
Well, again, yeah, and you know, we're always fighting the physics of it, so... If we can take those high frequency sounds and manipulate just those, and we don't have to drive a lot of power in the ear because we're also forced to amplify the lower sounds, that when we think about things like feedback elimination and distortion, we can really control that these days, and we can make those channels, those bands that the hearing aid is controllable in, match the bands of natural hearing, and that's a huge advantage as well. Again, you know, being able to hear is all about comprehension, and so the more we can modify just the sounds that are missing, the greater the comprehension, the greater listening experience, the greater life experience somebody would have.
So this Beltone First is the product. Was Beltone the first to pioneer direct Bluetooth connectivity to the iPhone?
In fact, that's why it's called the first.
Ah.
We're the very first to do that. And there are other companies I imagine will come up to the plate here soon. But, again, these other technologies that are typically used to drive that connection between the hearing device and something like a cell phone are FM devices. Those are subject to all kinds of outside interference, you know, depending on what gigahertz range you're transmitting, or do all those things you're doing. Now, with this direct Bluetooth connection, it's a very natural listening experience, and very simple to drive it. And so, again, because we're dealing typically with older people who may not be as comfortable with technology as the baby boomers or the generations after that, now they can. It's very simple to learn how to use the technology and be able to control your listening experiences directly.
Yeah, especially that you are finding more and more people of that generation are actually getting smartphones now.
It's amazing the adoption rate. I mean, we have people in here. In fact, we're doing a gentleman who is 99 years old. And in one of our locations, we're going to show him how to use his iPad to control his hearing aids. And so he's all excited about being able to be an iPad user. And we see this kind of excitement day in and day out that it really is also not only assisting in the hearing part, but it's assisting older people to drive them to want to use the technology that's available today, like iPads or iPhones or things of that nature.
Now you're talking about older people, but let's flip this around a little bit. What about younger people who do need? I mean, there are reasons why younger people need hearing devices. Are they aware of a product like Belltone first? And if so, how are they?
Well, we're trying to get the word out there. I think it's a challenge that we're fighting every day right now. We know that. We're seeing hearing loss at younger ages all the time. And, of course, there's genetic hearing loss that affects people of all ages. But the predominance of hearing loss really is those older generations. So when we're talking to people, we're talking to a broader market these days because, again, you know, people that have sound-related hearing loss, loudness-related hearing loss, and so it is a challenge for us to kind of get out there. And I think the technology that's available to us to treat hearing loss much earlier than we could treat it before is relative new. And I think over the next few years we'll do a much better job getting that word out there and showing people that even at a younger age, the importance of being able to hear well.
And real quick, before we jump into some of the other ones, I know we were going to ask this a little bit later, but I think it's an important one now, and that is hearing aids are traditionally a medical device. And with medical devices, most of the time they're either your insurance helps you pay for it or something like that. But I was thinking in terms of cost, that could be another barrier because if the device was actually cheap enough that people could kind of forego the paperwork and the red tape and that kind of thing and dealing with their healthcare provider, even though some people might have an easier time of it, instead just were able to purchase something like Belltone for themselves, then the entry level would be even lower. So I just kind of want to get costs out there and whether or not insurance would help with that.
Yeah, I'm really glad you asked that question, Ben. You know, the challenge, as you said, with medical devices is sometimes their costs can be very prohibitive. And, you know, we have a broad spectrum of hearing aids in terms of both what they do and budget associated with what they do. And one of the things you see, you know, you can go on late night TV now and see hearing aids advertised for, well, they can't legally call them hearing aids, but hearing assist devices that are selling for $35 to $500. And you know, it's primarily older technology that's really not current anymore. But in the United States, you know, a good pair of hearing aids that does exactly what it's supposed to do by a reputable company like Belltone and others, in the United States runs between $4,500 and $5,000 for a pair. Most of that market now is private paid. There are insurance plans that for it more are coming online all the time. Unfortunately, you know, this is one of the things that the government covers so much crazy stuff, but people who really need help with hearing aids, Medicare, Medicaid, those aren't covered under government programs, although the VA is doing a much better job these days of providing veterans with hearing aids.
Let me ask you this.
They're becoming more affordable all the time, but still they're a significant expense. There's no getting around that.
Now, are people using this? You mentioned using it like regular Bluetooth headsets. Are they using it to give them like and like super hearing? I mean, I've seen ads where they say you can do it. You can actually hear people like a block away or
Greg's
something.
Trying to turn himself into the bionic man, so he has his robotic legs lined up. And he's
just southern here, yeah. Just a little southern. We have a lot of hunters in Tennessee and in Georgia, and we can actually adjust the hearing aid so that when they're out in the woods and there's relative quiet, we can give them some indication of sound at a very low level. And so they can hear, you know, a stick crack 25 yards away. You know, we do things like that, but that's not the purpose of it. The purpose of it is to give people a normal hearing experience.
Right. Exactly. But you can, if people want to do that, they certainly, it's available, or they can use this device.
It is available. It absolutely is available.
Okay.
And all the, you know, you have all the spin-off technologies of that as well, as we were talking about other industries where this technology now is becoming adaptive. If you think about connections to phones, now, you know, we think about miniaturizing the headsets that receptionists are wearing when they're answering the phone day in and day out, or, as we said, monitors in a broadcast studio where before you were locked into a battery pack if you were doing it wirelessly. Now you don't really need that battery pack. You can do something very small that does the job and does it really, really well.
Now, these small devices that are fitting into your ear, I don't know if this is an advancement that you're thinking about, but with all the wireless recharging technology, not having to take it out from your ear, but actually have the device charge through an inductive connection. Any thoughts about something like that?
Well, that's certainly being worked on, you know, for a number of years, and Beltone was a very early participant in some of the battery research that was going on around hearing aids. It is one of the challenges. You know, hearing aid batteries typically will last 100 hours, so if you have somebody that wears them day in and day out, that might be 4, 5, 6, 7 days. That would be about it, and they're having to change batteries. Mm-hmm. And over the course of a year, that can add up to $200 or $300. Mm-hmm. So, you know, having rechargeable batteries is an important thing. There are hearing aids out there that have them. There are some real challenges with it, though. They have to be replaced. You know, they're not replaced daily, but they might have to be replaced yearly. Mm-hmm. There are heat problems that they're getting around, and so there are really good companies like Rayovac and others who have made big leaps in battery technology, and we're going to see some of that coming out in the next year in a big way, I think.
Well, that's good to hear. No pun intended.
And that affects other technologies as well. As you know, a lot of technologies are limited by the state of batteries.
Yes, that's very true. Batteries is one of the things that are holding us back in the technological arena, because we can do so much more with portable devices. But the battery life is that we need a quantum leap in battery technology, nuclear batteries of some sort. But aside from that, you might not want to cut that kind of battery next to your head. But certainly a rechargeable battery that is using these induction technologies that are now coming out, where you can take your smartphone, just lay it down, and it'll wirelessly charge it. So there are technologies that are coming out, and I would certainly think that we would see things like that in the hearing aid, especially devices that go in the ear, so you don't even see them. Because I understand Beltone is developing products like that as well that go actually into the ear canal where you don't really see them.
Yeah, we do. We have some what you would call deep insertion hearing aids, completely in the canal hearing aids, that are very small, or smaller than a dime, and they go deep into the ear. They have a black fascia to them, so you can't really even see them once they're in the ear canal.
Wow.
Again, there's some limitations to that. There's some physical limitations to the kind of loss we can cover to that, but it's getting broader, all the time. The range of loss we're able to cover is getting better all the time. But, induction technology is a great technology, but, again, you're limited by how small can you make a coil that's going to do the job of charging the battery. Mm-hmm. And with hearing aids, we're always size limited.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's very, very true. How do you get them out of your ear when you stick them in your ear? How do you get it out?
There's actually a very thin piece of nylon string that sits in the bottom of the canal that you can latch onto to pull it out.
Wow. I thought it was going to be a little magnetic probe or something and have a magnet.
See, I was hoping train mice, but tease their own.
Yeah, but that would make sense. You have a little pencil with a little magnetic tip, and you just go click, and it just pulls it out, you know?
It's a good idea.
Yeah, see, and I won't even try – well, a small royalty for that idea, okay?
Yeah, well, patented.
So we're talking about some of the advances we're looking forward to the future. We just touched on that. Can you talk about any of the other advances that we're going to look forward to in the future?
Well, I think that hearing aids in in terms of their ability to understand their environments, I think that's going to be a big area of advancement. You know, really getting smart devices. So they're cognizant of the environments they're operating in. They can adapt to those environments without us having to go back into reprogramming. I think remote programming, you know, currently somebody with a sophisticated pair of hearing aids needs to come in and get those hearing aids programmed inside an audiology setting. Mm-hmm. But I think remote programming is a real possibility over the phone.
Hey,
able to adjust the hearing aid.
If you can remotely control somebody's computer, you know, and have a session, I'm sure you can have something for the hearing aids to remote. I mean, the internet's bringing it all together, right, Perry? So
yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, they're doing it with defibrillators, heart monitors, you know, these things. People that wear those can, from their home, connect a device to it that programs them over the phone.
Yeah, exactly. And not only from the home now, even from your smartphone. I mean, more and more devices, there are apps now that actually do that. So you don't even have to be at your house. You can, people can monitor, you know, what's going on with your remotely via the smartphones. I mean, the technology is becoming so advanced, and I'm glad to see. And this certainly falls into the medical arena, hearing aid devices. What kind of hearing loss appropriate that you can deal with? Are there certain types of nerve damage that you can or cannot work with? What is it you work with?
Well, you know, hearing aids are really good for nerve-related hearing loss, hearing loss that's associated, it's called sensory neural hearing loss, so hearing loss that's associated with the nerves inside your inner ear. You know, if you have mechanical hearing loss, conduction hearing loss is associated with the eardrum or the bones inside your ear, that's almost best done with surgery these days and prosthetics. But hearing aids are really good at compensating for nerve-related hearing loss. And it's a wide range. You know, we can deal with people who have severe to profound loss. You know, the softest sound they hear would be like a semi-truck blowing its horn and you're standing next to it. It's amazing. Sometimes we'll test people. We can hear the tones outside of the sound booth and they don't hear it.
Wow.
So even, you know, if they have a comprehension level of sound that's at 20 or 30% and you can bring them up to 40%, it's a huge difference in their life. And these days, you know, people are much healthier, and so that ability to restore some hearing and give people back their security so that they know if somebody's knocking at their door, somebody's walking around the porch, or if they're driving, the ability to continue to drive and know that you're going to be able to hear children playing in the street or the police or the fire truck. You know, those are all security and independence issues. And hearing aids today can solve a lot of those issues. So it makes a huge difference in people being able to live independently for a much longer time.
And anybody using a Beltone First device, not only that, they can also listen to music, right? They can do if there's they have you know, on.
It's full enjoyment, and we have people that are especially in the area of Tennessee I live in, where we're really close to Nashville. We have a lot of retired musicians, and they. You know, they're used to hearing sound over very sophisticated audio technology, and they love the way it sounds. And being able to just pull the file up on your iPhone, your smartphone, and listen to music and hear it well.
Yeah,
it's just wonderful to see their response to it.
Yeah, that is amazing. Now, we touched on it again, but let's talk a little bit about the cost again. For typically, what kind of price range are we in looking?
Well, in the average pair runs between $4,000 and $5,000. Now, we have hearing aids that are $2,000, and we have hearing aids that are more expensive than that. So it really depends upon, you know, the things that we're always trying to look at is what is the loss. Mm-hmm. What is somebody's lifestyle, and what is their budget? And we always are matching those three ingredients to come up with the perfect hearing aid for the person at a cost they can afford to have it at.
But don't you just love when someone walks into Beltone and says, "Hey, the sky's the limit. Just you know, make it the best you can possibly make it, right?"
If you find somebody who does that, give them my number.
Certainly will do.
But no, you know, and Beltone does a great job. Beltone has a foundation, so you know, we're doing our very best to be good community citizens as well, and for people who are unable to afford some of this technology, to give them a path to it,
sure,
that they wouldn't otherwise have. And so Beltone, for the 75 years that it's been doing business, has been very, very good at making sure that we're living up to our responsibilities as part of just good citizens.
Well, again, the website is www.beltonesouth.com, and you can check it out for yourself, or just go to computeramerica.com. Just go to our website, click on our show notes page. You'll see today's show, January the 22nd, and you'll see the link right to the Beltone South website right there, and you can check it out for yourself. Perry, I want to thank you so much for being with us here tonight. I would have liked to have, you know, got you on our Hangouts, but maybe next time we'll have it set up and we can figure out and get you a set up so we can actually get you on the Hangouts version too.
Well, thanks a lot, Craig. I look forward to coming back.
Hey, Perry, absolutely. Listen, have a great evening, and thanks again for being with us here on Computer America. Have a good evening. Good night.
Good night.
Goodbye. All right, bye-bye. All right, there he goes. Again, Beltone South, and you can see it all for yourself at the Beltone South, BeltoneSouth.com website, or again, at our show notes page at ComputerAmerica.com.